And then I want to share one more testimony before handing over to this wonderful team. And the reason why I want to share this testimony, because it's something that you can apply in your own life. When I was a youth pastor, I was living in a kaya that we converted into a granny flat. And I was paying 1,000 rand a month rent for that granny flat. I'd given up the business side of life. And we had a lady, Kiri Saudi, visiting, and she's talking about miracle holidays. And that night, I went to bed and I said, "Lord, my bank account is empty. I'm asking you for a miracle holiday." Anyway, the next day I woke up and clean forgot about the prayer. And about 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock that day, I got a phone call from a friend in Ireland who hadn't spoken to for about 5 years. And he said, "Andrew, I want you to come to Ireland. Everything's paid for, your flights and everything's paid for." And I actually sat in Lansdowne Road in Dublin and watched South Africa win the 17th in a row test match right in front of the rugby poles. And what it taught me is this, and I actually got to share that night about a miracle holiday with this group, is that when miracles are shared, and Bill Johnson's coined this phrase, that testimonies are a spirit of prophecy, that as you heard testimony today, take it for yourself, for your situation you're in, and you can see God do the miraculous. So, we want to start off with Steve today. And Stephen, you're going to tell us your story about God's miracle in your life. Yeah.
First of all, I just want to say that many of you sitting out there, God specializes in big miracles and small miracles. And so all of you have a miracle to share. And the only reason why we are up here is because often Jesus would tell people, when they said, "Can we follow you?" He said, "No, go home and tell the people what God has done for you." And so that's what we are about as we share today. So mine is a healing miracle. It happened when I was a fairly young man, not married, and I was just starting out in my teaching career. And these days we've got the COVID virus that's still popping around. But in those days, there was another virus called, the doctors coined it, yuppie flu. And instead of getting lung problems with yuppie flu, the symptom was incredible fatigue, where you just virtually couldn't get out of bed. And you'd sleep the whole night, and still the next morning you would feel exceptionally tired. Anyway, I'd been teaching only a year, and I contracted what the doctor said was yuppie flu. I went from doctor to doctor, and eventually used up all my sick leave, and I was still in bed. And one Sunday night, I was lying in bed and I was sharing a house with another guy who taught with me. And he went off to church and he left me there all alone, lying in bed there. Couldn't even sit up. I was just lying down and talking to the Lord. And I heard the Holy Spirit in my heart say, "What will you do if I heal you?" So I said, "I'll get out of this bed, change out of my pajamas, jump in my car and go and give a testimony at church." This was 6 o'clock at night time. And no sooner had I agreed with the Holy Spirit that the power of God started in me and started flowing down my legs like electricity and down my arms. This incredible power just came over me. From not being able to even sit or stand, I jumped up out of bed and I started running up and down the passage, shouting and praising God. I couldn't believe what was happening to me. And I remembered I'd made a promise to change out of my pajamas and go to church. So I did that, hopped into my car, drove all the way to church, was about 15 k's away. Arrived there, and they were so shocked to see me. Now, they shouldn't have been shocked, because they told me afterwards that they had prayed for me at the service, at the beginning of the service, anyway. So at the end of the service, I went and gave a testimony and said, this is what had happened to me. Next day was Monday, went back to school. And as a teacher, you stand a lot in class, and then that was third term, it was athletic season. I stood the whole afternoon on the athletics field, not a drop of fatigue. It was just an instantaneous touch from the Lord, and I just give him the praise.
Dieter, sitting right next to Steve, you had something similar happen to you down. Is it Harding that it happened?
So... when I was 14 years old, I had a bicycle accident. I suppose all 14-year-olds have to crash sometime. And I came around this corner at quite pace, and there were some guys playing soccer in the road, which I didn't see. You know, they were hidden around the corner. And a bit of pace, I couldn't slow down fast enough. And I just sort of straightened out, and I hit one guy, and I went over the handlebars. But luckily, I landed on the grass, on the verge, on the side of the road, so I didn't get any roasties. However, the bike came from behind, and it hit me on the back of my elbow, and it broke my elbow. And I think at 14, you probably got quite a bit of growth spurts in that, and those didn't happen. So I had one long arm and one short arm. And then, you know, we had to all go and do our national service. And so when I was doing push-ups, I'd put of a squiff body, you know, one short arm, one long arm. And, you know, one of my army breaks, I was down on the South Coast, and there was a healing service. And we went, I didn't, with not much anticipation, you know, you just go there. In fact, I was sitting on the balcony at the top, hiding, you know. And everyone arrived, and there were guys with crutches and wheelchairs in the front, and there was great anticipation. I was a bit reserved, but didn't know what to expect. But anyway, you know, the crutches were flying, wheelchairs were being thrown away, and it was amazing, really. And I sat on the top there, and I just quietly asked the Lord to do something about my elbow. And I put my arms in front of me like this. And the next thing, my right arm started growing right in front of me. So now they're both the same length. The one's a bit squiff. I'll show you. It is still a bit squiff. They're both the same length. So the push-ups are good. You know, it's not even about that. It's if one arm was shorter than the other, it's probably no big deal. But what was the amazing thing about it is that probably my faith wasn't in it, and the Lord came through and he did what I asked him to do.
Thanks, Dieter. All right, now we've got some different testimonies around weather patterns and fires and all sorts. So Thomas and Monica, can you share, and also some healings as well? Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, the first one I'd like to share, many years ago, I lived on a farm just north of Freight, and it was afternoon during the week in late August, and those are the worst times for fires in the area. And that morning already, the wind started picking up, and you can feel the tenseness of all the farmers in the area because everything is dry, everything burns like a match very easily. And lo and behold, here about 10 o'clock, the first dark cloud was seen behind the horizon, and the wind was coming in our direction. And we were all communicating with two-way radios, all the farmers helping each other. But it was just bizarre. This wind just picked up in speed, and it spread so quickly. By about 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock, already 28 or 29 farms were just totally destroyed. All the sheds, all the feed reserves for the cattle, many hundreds of sheep were dead. Cattle were burnt. Some people also died in that fire as their houses were destroyed. And it came close and closer to my farm. And we finished helping where we could, and then we came back to retreat. And see what we could still salvage from our farm. And as I stood there, it was already a late afternoon. My neighbor went to his farm to see where his dad is, was already old in the house, whether he's safe. And he left his son with me, Neil. And Neil and I went behind the house on top of the mountain, and the farm had a long border, about a kilometer long. And on the other side, I could see this wall of fire. It was over a kilometer, as far as I could see, higher than this stage up there, probably 4 meters, 5 meters of flames, just a long wall. Now, with the strong wind approaching, the noise was deafening. What really can you do? You know, water cannons, etc., don't really help. Fire breaks are nothing. It just jumps over there. And Neil was standing next to me, a little boy in junior school, looking up to me. Yeah, and there I stood, looking at this fire coming very quickly towards me, and I just stretched out my hands. And I said, "Fire, die." And nothing happened. It carried on coming. And I repeated it again. I said, "Fire, die in the name of Jesus." And then all of a sudden, this crackling sound just died away, and the flames just fell flat about 1 meter high, and they slowly, slowly crawled towards this fire break we had, and it stopped right there. And on the sides, on either sides of the farm, the fire carried on and carried on, just burning away farm after farm till late at night. And I just remember that humbling experience that evening. God, why did you spare me? It's just totally overwhelming if that happens. I had no confidence when I stretched out my hands, but I trusted him because he's always true. And he's always true also to each one of you. A couple of years later, went through a terrible drought, probably for 3 years, where rains were far below the average. And heat waves came summer after summer. The winters were very dry. We in Freight actually battled with 18 months, no tap water, the whole of town. So that was a miracle on its own, how the town survived that. But then my manager on the other farm, south of Freight, phoned me and said, "Thomas, you know, we've been speaking about water every day. We had 3 boreholes that had run dry, and we had 2 dams on the farm. And there was nothing left." Now, at that stage, I had about 6,000 pigs that needed lots of water every day. We had a couple of 100 cattle. And we had probably 300 people living on the farm, all needing water. What can you do? The nearest river was kilometers away. You can't cart, you know, 200,000-300,000 liters of water a day. So Monica said, "Let's go and pray." And we climbed into our buggy and drove down to the farm, down to the dam, and we stood there on the dam wall, looking around, just clear skies like today, a hot day, and a little mud pool where our pump was sucking out the last water, and there was nothing more to suck out. And there, just in faith, Monica and I prayed, said, "Father, thank you that you will care for us and everyone who's dependent on you, because of your love." And we drove home. The next morning, about 9 o'clock, my manager phones me and says, "Thomas, I must tell you this, what happened this morning. At work, the employees all came to the office," and he was first a bit scared. "What's going on? Has he said anything wrong or whatever?" And they said, "No, you must please come out of the office. They want to discuss or tell him something." And as he got out, they said, yesterday afternoon, they were sitting at their houses. Obviously, everyone knew what the dire situation was. And said, all of a sudden, late afternoon, about 5 o'clock, a cloud started building up on the one side. He said, but it was a small cloud. It just became darker and darker, and it moved through the sky till it hung over the dam. And then all of a sudden, as if the heavens just opened and this water just poured down to the little catchment of the dam and filled that dam. Only that spot got so much water that the dam was overflowing in one rain that God sent. Just have to care for all the people and his animals, which he loves dearly. And nothing else, the drought still carried on for months. But that's how the provision came, and a big miracle.
Wow, Thomas, that's amazing. I think you should write a book and call it Faith Like Pigs. Eh? Monica, you're going to share some miracles around healing. Hey?
Yeah. When we were still living in Freyhead, our life group, some people in our life group and us used to go on Saturday mornings to the local ShopRite, which was at the taxi rank. And we would set up a gazebo, and we would invite people for prayer to come. We our intention was prayer for healing, but so many people came for so many different things that we just prayed for them. And that one particular day, while we were praying, we could smell somebody behind us. And we turned around, and it was a young boy who smelled terrible. And he had a big wound on his thumb, and his whole hand was swollen. He couldn't move it, and he was hunched over, just holding this. And he couldn't work, and he had no money for medicine at all. And he was really struggling. And I remember... You know what's coming. I remember I was just smelling him, and I thought, well, I can't touch him, because I was scared the smell would linger on me, and I still wanted to go to Pick and Pay after prayer time. And I was looking at my friend Anna, and she said, oh, I don't know neither. And Thomas came, and he just embraced this little boy, this little young man. And I thought, okay, then I can lay my hands on him if Thomas can embrace him. And Thomas, you talked to him more than prayed, but he talked to him in Zulu and imparted the love of the Father and of Jesus. And when he finished, the smell was totally gone. There was no smell left. And we knew that he was delivered from, it was a demonic deliverance. And he looked different. Everything about his demeanor was different. And he moved his hand. The wound was still there, but he could move his hand, his thumb, and he walked off. And he was walking, and it reminded us of this man who was healed, leaping and dancing, praising the Lord, and really jumping. And then he came back. And he said he couldn't move. He could hardly walk, and he couldn't lift his arms at all. And we didn't see it because we were busy with somebody else. We just noticed him behind us. And that was a total healing, a spiritual healing and a physical healing. And that was just imparting God's love to him.
Wow, that's amazing. Thanks, Monica. We're gonna change tacks quickly. We're gonna come from this side. Is there anything you want to fill in, not relating to your testimony? We're gonna come from Gerard from this side now, because we want to finish with you, Yvonne, with this. But can I just share one testimony as well? We took a group of people up to Mozambique, and I took this one guy with me. And because of the Poppy Act, I shouldn't really mention his name, but he's never prayed for anybody. He's never had faith for praying for people. And we went into Mozambique, in southern Mozambique, and it was dark. I've never experienced darkness like that. And that night we put on the Jesus movie. And it's amazing, because you slowly see in the lights, you see more and more faces. And eventually the whole village is watching the Jesus movie. And you can't really see the people, but you hear the shock and the horror when Jesus gets beaten. And anyway, we asked if there are people that want to come forward for prayer. And this one guy came to me, and I thought, no, I'm not going to pray for him. So I got this chap and asked him to pray. And he didn't know what to do. I said, just lay hands on him and pray for him. This guy had a problem with his knee. And this chap laid hands on him and just prayed the most simplest prayer. And while he was praying, he just heard clack, 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 clack. It sounded like gears moving. And next minute, this guy he's praying for starts jumping up and down like this. And this guy, who is more shocked that this guy got healed than anything else, he's praying for him, and they both grabbed each other, and they're both just jumping in the middle of Mozambique. This is amazing healing. So anyway, Gerard, you got something completely different for us. Don't you want to share your miracle? Okay. Yeah.
Many years ago, we were living... I was working in the industrial area of Durban South. Now, every morning, I used to drive through to there, and many of you will know the M7 highway that goes through Queensborough, and there's a long straight stretch. Now, that previous night, due to my never mind what, I had not slept, but I went to work anyway, and I was still feeling fine. But as I hit the straight stretch, I fell asleep. And as I fell asleep, what must have happened is that my foot went down onto the accelerator, and this is witnesses told me, this car, my car, started accelerating towards, I saw this truck in the distance, was an old farm truck, sort of army green color, but I only realized afterwards. Anyway, I was heading towards everybody thinking, now this man's now dead. And so I didn't even know that. But seconds before impact, I woke up. I was woken up. I put my foot on the brake, saw this truck coming towards me. The bonnet of the car went under the truck because it was quite a small truck, and the screaming metal of the bonnet slowed it down. And the next thing I saw, because this lady or her workers had put in a grey tape, replaced the bumper, back bumper of the car, of the truck, with a great big steel channel. Now this thing was so thick and about that wide, and I just saw this thing coming straight to me. And as the car stopped, it hit the windscreen, didn't break it, cracked it, and that was it. And I was alive. And I got out the car shaking like anything. I was taken off because they said I'd had EEG things, and but there was nothing wrong with me. But on top of that, at the time, I was what I would call a church denier. I was not saved. I only got saved 10, 15 years later. So even though I wasn't saved, he saved me. And thank you, Lord. Amen. I'm still here today.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hello, everyone. So mine is completely different. So in 2021, I think it was, I stand to be corrected, but I think it was Sunday, the 11th of July, 2021. And maybe somebody knows the significance of that date, if you were living in this area then. So a little bit of a background to the story is that Corné and I had a storage unit in Brackenhill, and we'd had the storage unit for a number of years, and what I actually hadn't even thought about when we were sharing this on Thursday night was what was really significant about that year is that in April 2021, my dad passed away. So anyway, we had to sort out a lot of family possessions and things because we were moving into Corné's parents' house, and I was helping my mom with all of their things. So that Sunday morning, somebody had bought a set of chairs, that of which six of them were still in the storage unit, and we hadn't been for ages. So Corné went along, collected the chairs, and also what was significant is that morning he took photos of the storage unit, and we hadn't been there for ages, and took photos of everything that was there so we could sort through it. Anyway, that afternoon, we started getting messages via social media that there were riots happening, and it was getting really, really increasingly bad. And I'm sure all of you can remember that if you were here. And Corné was involved in community patrolling, and at that point we were all just, and him and Matt, our son, went out pretty much straight away and spent the night helping and doing what they could. And at one point that night, we got a message. In fact, Ruth and I could hear the explosions, and we could hear gunshots. And at one point, Corné sent a message to say, the storage facility is toast. Wasn't really that stressed about that at that point. I was just, you know, more worried about Corné and the safety. anyway, so we couldn't go and see what had happened with the storage unit for about a week. So we went there, I think the following Saturday. It was like devastation. There were just burnt out cars along the way. When we got there, we had to wear like a hard hat. Within seconds of being there, our hands were just covered in soot. And there was just some of the units, the rows of units, were completely destroyed. Like you couldn't even, like there was nothing. It was just ash. So our one, you could get into. Corne had to go fetch like a tool to get in. And there was just like glass everywhere, a broken kist. We found, a chair that was we knew was ours. We could see it outside, but it had been burnt. And in amongst there, in a kist, was I had put my wedding dress. And they'd said to us, make sure you go look around and see if you can find anything, because a lot of people had been finding their belongings like far away. All along the floor, there was like, it was weird. There were thousands of earbuds. Like, I don't know how that happened, but somebody had obviously had a storage unit full of earbuds, because there was just earbuds everywhere. But, what was really weird is that there was, there was also, what was very sad, was that there was photos, just photos everywhere, and like children's games and like puzzle pieces and things. Anyway, I said to Ruth and Corne, I'm going to go find my wedding dress. And about 800 meters away, I saw this piece of like netting under a trailer that was burnt. And apparently I said to Ruth, that's my wedding dress, but I don't even remember saying that. And we had to lift up the trailer, and I picked it up, and when I turned it over, I could see it was my wedding dress. And it was 100% intact. Anyway, so I've taken much longer than I should have. But it was just an amazing picture of, and we've sung a lot of songs today with beauty from ashes and fire. It was just an amazing, it was like Jesus was just saying to me, like, only I can bring beauty from ashes. And I will restore. And yeah, it's just, if you want to, you can actually smell, you can still smell the fire on there. It was just a beautiful picture of restoration. It was a very personal message to me. Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? Under a burnt trailer, a wedding dress completely intact. So Janine, you're going to also share us an interesting miracle. Yeah.
Okay. Morning, everybody. So mine is going to be very short. This morning, when I was talking to my mother, she actually reminded me that I had a dream, which I actually forgot about 2 weeks before this incident or the miracle. So I had a dream that I was driving my husband's vehicle, and the car got stolen but stuck in a main road. A bus came, and I managed to drive the car out of the bus, and it just narrowly missed the behind part of the car. And about a week or 2 weeks later, and this was about 3 months, no, I'm lying, 5 months ago, about a week later, after that dream, the Holy Spirit kept saying to me, go and anoint your husband's car. And I'm like, I'm going to do it tomorrow. I'm going to do it later. I'm already in bed when I get reminded by the Holy Spirit. So I'm like, oh, I'm too tired to get up now. For about a week after I had, or 2 weeks after I had this dream. And then the Thursday night, again, we're laying in bed, and the Holy Spirit says to me, go and anoint your husband's car. And I'm like, again, okay, I'm going to do it later. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit says, now, and I jump up, and I grab the anointing oil, and I go to my mother, and I said, go and anoint that man's car. She calls my son, apparently, and the two of them went, and they anointed his car. That was the Thursday night. I went to go get my fix straight. So on the Friday night, he was on his way to Maritzburg. And as you know, there was a Porsche. They're still working on the road. So there's only this one lane. So you can't go to the left or to the right if you're on this one stretch from Durban to Maritzburg. So he tells me, this is the Friday night after the car was anointed, the Thursday by my mother and my son. And obviously they prayed over the car. He tells me he was driving. A truck was in front of him. He saw this big van with a trailer coming behind him. And he says to me, he saw the exact moment the trailer or the bucky with the trailer or the van with the trailer lost control. And he knew this thing was going to hit him from behind and there was no going to the left nor to the right. He said all he had to do was say he was waiting for the impact because he saw the minute it came speeding down and he was just waiting. So on impact, he says, it hit him so hard that the thud was so hard, he thought to himself, oh, my car is finished. Because the van was pulling a trailer as well, the one that knocked him from behind. He said he sat in the car for a minute, just thinking, ish, I don't want to go and see. But eventually, obviously, everybody has now stopped, so he has to get out of the car. He gets out of the car. What he tells me is, as he's walking to check the damage, obviously you first see the car that knocked into you. So he's looking at this van, and the whole front part is smashed. And he's saying to himself in that moment, oh my God, I don't even want to see what my car is going to look like. He says when he looked at the back of his car, nothing. There was no damage to his car. All he needed was there's a tow bar, that there's something that goes onto a tow bar, I was told later, that cost him 20 rand. All he had to go do was buy this ball for the tow bar. His car was perfectly intact. The van was smashed. And that was a miracle.
So, Janine, there's some anointing oil. Can you just go around the car park quickly and just pray for the cars? All
right. That wasn't the first time, by the way. We've always been anointing, especially my mother. She does the laying of hands and the anointing.
Just before you end up with Janine, I just want to share one more testimony. For me, it was amazing. When I was a youth pastor, we took a Swiss family for a trip down to Cape Town. We stopped at a place called Vic Bay. I'd just been surfing and I just got on the shore, and his son was washed out along the rip, along the rocks, if you know Victoria Bay. And I swam out to him, and then I realized, why did I not bring my surfboard with me? And I got to him, I realized we were in trouble. But a surfer saw us and we helped us get this young boy over the rocks, and he was safe. But the family said to me, we want to take you to Switzerland for a free holiday. So I went skiing in Switzerland, and while we're driving to Switzerland, the snow was so heavy, we had the best snow imaginable. Took lots of photos, and when after that week of skiing, went back to Zurich, and I went to go get my photos developed, and I'm walking around Zurich, and I got home, and I realized I dropped my memory stick with all the photos of the whole holiday, so I had no proof or evidence of it. And so I decided to backtrack my whole route around Zurich, and I was praying and I was saying the whole time. And I went from shop to shop. I couldn't find it anywhere. And as I came out of a Starbucks and I turned left, while I was walking, I just had this overwhelming sense, stop and look down. I stopped and looked down, and there was a piece of paper next to my right foot. And I, you know, so God speaks to you, just suddenly you're overwhelmed. You don't know what's going on. And I went down and I picked up this piece of paper, and underneath was my memory stick with all my photos on. So God is a God of miracles. We're going to end up with you now.
So Ken and I were living in a house next door to a church in Queensborough, and one of our functions was also caretakers. So we had our duties to do. And on the Saturday afternoon, I was watering the garden, in our garden, and the hose pipe was actually on too hard. And I ended up splashing, I had a pink and white striped skirt. I ended up splashing the skirt full of mud. I went inside and I took the skirt off and I put it in the corner of my bedroom. And I thought, well, tomorrow I need to actually soak that. I can't put it in the machine. I went to bed. The following morning we got up and we do our normal duties. I go over to the church. We walk down the back steps, across the grass, and there was a gate going into the church next door. Ken would go and open up the cage where the combi was, get everything ready for the combi driver. I would go into the church, make sure that everything was clean and tidy, there was water, you know, the normal duties. And I did this, I went over and I did my duties and I came back. There was dew on the grass from the night before, so the grass was a little bit wet. And I went up the steps and I went into the kitchen and a big bottle of bird seed off the shelf, something I did every day. Took the big bottle of bird seed and I'd walk down the steps and I'd put seed out for the birds. So I did this, and as I took the first step, obviously my leather shoes underneath had picked up the dew and they were wet. And as I took the first step, my feet just went up in the air and I went down on my back, on my spine, boom, 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 down to the bottom. And I lay there. And it was actually really, really bad. I felt as if something was poking out through my windpipe. I couldn't speak and I lay there in a heap. Ken eventually came back from the church and he saw me lying there on the floor, and he saw the state I was in, and he actually cried over me. I remember this. He cried to the Lord to please heal me. Ken, being the very diligent person that he is, picked me up. I was in a fetal position, carried me through and put me on the bed, and he proceeded to go to church because he was playing in the band. And I was lying there, and he went and he woke up the children. My children were in bed, sleeping. And he said, "You need to go and sit with your mother. She's had a bad accident." Brought them through to the room. And my daughter took one look at me, and she left, and she went back to her room. And my son took one look at me. And I heard him walk down the passage, and there was a sliding door. And I heard the sliding door open and close, and I knew he was in the lounge. Ken put some music on the bed next to me, praise and worship music. And he left me. And I can still remember thinking, is he not going to phone an ambulance? And off he went, and he left me, and I lay there. And as I lay there, I knew I was dying. I actually knew I was dying. And my spirit became weaker and weaker. It's hard to explain, but my spirit, man, became weaker and weaker as I lay there, listening to this music. And all of a sudden, I heard a voice. And it wasn't an audible voice. It was here in my head. And this voice said to me, "I love you, and I'm going to heal you. I love you, and I'm going to heal you. I love you, and I'm going to heal you." And it continued over and over and over again. "I love you, and I'm going to heal you." And slowly, my spirit started getting stronger and stronger. And I could feel my spirit, man, coming back to life. And then the voice changed, and the voice said to me, "When I tell you, put your foot on the floor. When I tell you, put your foot on the floor." And he continued to tell me, "I love you." And all of a sudden, I heard the voice saying, "Now put your foot on the floor." We had a very high bed. I'm a very short person. I could never put my foot on the floor if I sat on the side. I used to have to slide down. But I turned over. I was still in the same state, but I turned over. And as I attempted to move my leg, I jumped up, I sprung up, I was full of life, and I felt like I was floating in the air. I felt like I was in the spirit. And I can recall walking to the corner of the bedroom and bending down and picking up this muddy skirt and putting it on. And I went to my wardrobe and I put on a blouse and I bent down. And I picked up a high-heeled pair of stiletto shoes, put them on my feet. And I actually went to the mirror. I didn't worry about my face like I normally would. I remember just touching my hair and looking in the mirror. I was totally in the spirit. And I picked up my Bible and I walked down the passage and I opened the sliding door. And my son's eyes were like saucers. He looked at me and I said, "I'm going to church." And I walked down the steps and I walked out and we walked into the church. I had no idea of the time. I did not know what the time was. And our church services was 1.5 hours. They'd start at 9 and they'd finish at 10:30. And I got to the church door and I opened the door and I started walking down. And you know, I felt like I was in the spirit. I don't know how to explain it, but I didn't feel like I was really walking. I was told afterwards by somebody, "Yvonne, you looked like an angel that was floating as you came down." And I walked over and I walked up to the platform. I didn't see the pastor. Unbeknown to me, he was at the door ready to greet the people that were going to leave. It was 10:30. I'd been lying there all 2 hours. And I don't know why I did it, but I walked up to the platform. The praise and worship leader was dismissing the people, and I put my hand out. And I put my hand out towards the microphone, and he gave it to me. And I took the microphone, and I just started speaking, and words just came out of my mouth. And I can't even remember what I said, but just words were coming out of my mouth. And when I looked at the people sitting in the front rows, that they were crying. And I didn't quite understand what was happening. Anyway, after the service, I went home. And in the afternoon, I got a phone call from one of the elders. And he said, "Yvonne, the pastor would like to see you in his office." That afternoon, because we had evening service, so about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, I went into the office and he said to me, "Yvonne, I want you to go and I want you to get the tape recording of this morning's message." He said, "Because I had a very harsh message for the congregation this morning, including the elders and deacons. It was really a disciplined kind of message." And he said, "You came up there and you took that microphone and you said everything that I had said in that message." And so I just, you know, I used to say to myself, "Lord, you know, your word says that you wouldn't allow our feet to slip. Why would that happen to me?" But then all things work to the good. And there was a purpose that, you know, a pastor can bring a harsh message, but God is now going to bring somebody else to confirm it. I was quiet. I was humble. I was not one that would want to admonish anybody. But the words I spoke, which I could not even remember, he asked me to do it again in the evening. I said, "But I don't know what I said." So in the evening, I didn't do that. But that was one of my amazing testimonies. I will never, ever forget that God loves you and me so much that even when you are in a situation where you can't even pray for yourself, Holy Spirit will begin to talk to you and speak to you. Amen. The next miracle I want to share actually happened 2 years prior to this. Ken and I were newly born again. We were running a business. We'd started up a business. He'd given up his job and started on a dream that he had. And we launched it on the very first House and Garden show in Durban, and it took the market by storm. But some gentlemen in Pretoria heard about it, and they approached us, and they said, "Would you manufacture for us?" And Ken would work literally day and night. He wouldn't even come home to get product ready and drive it to the Louis Botha Airport, put it on the plane so that it could get to Pretoria the next day. And as fast as he was producing, they were installing in the Pretoria area, and they were making lots of money. And eventually the money started drying up, and we sat with all the bills, all the manufacturing bills, and we got into a lot of trouble. And we were liquidated. Our company was liquidated. My children at the time were about 10 and 12 years old. And our company was liquidated, and we then were sequestrated. In other words, what you own, you've got to now also pay over to the creditors. And things were very difficult for us. We had a lovely home, beautiful home. And we had to move out that house. The house was sold under us. And we had nowhere to go. And we had no money to go anywhere. And the house was sold and people were due to be moving in on the Saturday at the end of the month. And my father-in-law managed to find us a little house in the Queensborough area 3 days before we were due to move. But we didn't even have money for a furniture removal. And my father-in-law negotiated with a removal truck and said, "Listen, when you bring the new people's furniture in, would you take my son's furniture and just deliver it on your way back to depot?" And they said they would do that at a very reduced cost. So I just want you to imagine the scene. We had to carry our furniture outside and our belongings and put it on the grass and sit and wait, because the house had to be empty. The most terrible feeling. So when the new people moved in, they could move the furniture straight in. There we sat, Ken and our two young children with our belongings. And it's a terrible feeling. You got nothing. We moved into this little house. And when I say we had nothing, we had very, very little. And the little we had eventually dried up. And the last few eggs were finished for supper. There's no more supper. The bread is finished. Tomorrow's the last bread. That kind of thing. And I proceeded to switch off my fridge. We were newly born again, and we were invited to a home group. And we went to this home group. We didn't know anybody except the people who had invited us. And you know, you get introduced to people, and you don't really know their names. You just say hi, you know. And we went home after that home group meeting. And the next morning, because I had switched my fridge off that night, the next morning, children went off to school. I had no bread to give them sandwiches. Ken went out. And I was sitting in the lounge, and I heard a vehicle drive into the driveway. And I looked out the window, and there was a little white bucky. And this elderly couple, pensioners, got out. And I thought, I don't know them, but their faces are familiar. And it was an elderly couple who were at the home group the night before. And they walked in, and those years back we had OK Bazaars in the area, and they used to have white packets with the red OK Bazaars sign on it. And they walked in, and they had packet upon packet. So many packets of food. Every packet was tied with a red ribbon. And they just carried on. This bucky was full of packets. And they brought it into our kitchen. And when we opened it, it was food, and it was Christmas cake, and mince pies, and fillet steak, and gifts for the children. There was an abundance of food. And the story goes is that their names was Aubrey and June Stevens. And then the story goes that this couple were at that home group that night, and they'd met us, not spoken to us, but met us. And that night, June had a dream. And God said to her in a dream, that lady with the blonde hair, they don't have any food. And she thought, how am I going to tell Aubrey? Because Aubrey is not a man that likes to give anything to anybody. How am I going to tell Aubrey? And in the morning, Aubrey came to her and said, June, I had a dream last night. That young couple we met, they have no food. And that's how God works. You know, he just softened the hearts. And this elderly pensioner couple went out and bought an abundance of food. So much so that I was able to take half of it and share it with a neighbor who was looking after a grandchild. And she was also very needy. So I just want to give God all the praise and honor and glory for his provision. He knows all things. Amen.
Sorry, I just want to add a little something. So the reason, the significance of Corneille having gone to the storage unit that Sunday and taking photos was that we could then, we had evidence for the insurance claim, which was incredible. So that was also just how God's timing and how he worked. So that was also provision for us, because if we didn't have those photos from that very day, we could never have claimed.
Amen.
So what we'd like to do now, can I ask you to close your eyes? And if there's any area in your life that you've heard a testimony today that you feel, hey, I need you to do that for me, Lord. The team here are available to pray. If you just come up and approach whoever you'd like to. But Father, we thank you. You're the God who operates in signs and wonders and miracles, Lord. That you use foolish things, things that the world despises, Lord, to reveal yourself to us, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, as we share testimonies of miracles now, Lord, I thank you that we will hear more in the days to come, Father, because you're the God who loves us, that you turn all things to good in our lives. And I pray, Father, if there's anyone here, Lord, that needs a touch from you today, Lord, and even in the prayer and the ministry that will take place, Father, we just ask, Lord, that you come and reveal how good you are to them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So the team available, if you'd like prayer, please come up. Otherwise, bless you all, and let's look forward to seeing you this following Sunday. Thank you all for sharing your testimonies. Yeah, thank you.